Our guest speaker this morning is Acharya Mahadevji. He will provide thoughts on Thanksgiving from a Hindu perspective when someone helps us with a task. A word of thanks very naturally comes to us. Are there many other things for which we ought to give thanks? Let us explore the true spirit of giving thanks with respect to our Unitarian Universalist goal to evaluate other world religions and our principle to encourage spiritual growth, individuality, and within our collective thought as a congregation. Aryachara Mahadevji is a pastor at the Chinnamaya Mission in Southern California, where he teaches classes in Vedanta. Mahadevji has a PhD in physics and worked as an engineer before devoting full time to Vedanta. He has been our guest speaker here at UUCF several times and has been well received. Let us welcome Aryachava Mahadevji.
Okay, before I start, let me just say a prayer. This prayer is actually something to blend all the minds together. Because we always do that when we start a meeting or whenever we say a prayer and when we're having something together. So it's a prayer which says that may all the minds that are here be in unison and may the teaching be as efficient as possible. And may you be listening with all your heart and may I be teaching with everything that I've got, okay? So, and then a prayer to my spiritual master also. Sahana vavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhi tamastu bhavit vishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Samasta jana kalyane niratam karunamayam, namami chinmayam devam sadgurum brahma vidvaram. Thank you for this opportunity to share my thoughts on Thanksgiving from a Sanatana Dharma point of view. I won't use the word Hinduism because it doesn't make sense. Sanatana Dharma means that's the real name for this culture. It means that values that are eternal, that were there from the time where nobody knows how far back to now, to what it is now, and those values are universal. It's not a religion as per se, but it's a philosophy. It's a way of life. That's what it is, okay? So let's ask ourselves first, when do we thank someone? Huh? When somebody does something for us, or you offer a prayer to that person, or when a serious problem is averted in life, then you offer a thanks. And then what do we do on Thanksgiving? We invite friends and family and get together and have a feast. But you ask yourself, is that what Thanksgiving is all about? You know, I heard a lot of things here, very nice, very good way in which Thanksgiving is observed everywhere. And I'm just going to add some more stuff, okay? So, if you start off with analyzing the concept, first of all, you know, whenever you're in debt, and everyone knows it, you cannot transact business with the world around. Because nobody trusts you, and you have to repay the debt until you are free. When you finish your last payment on your house, for example, you heave a sigh of relief. Wow, that's done. You know, the mortgage is paid off. The great sages who brought all these teachings to us, irrespective of what religion we come from, the sages, they started off somewhere and they didn't have any kind of particular religion. These were the great thinkers and experts on analysis of humanity's problems. And what was their thought process? Let's look at that. So they said, we are human beings indebted to many, and unless we pay them all, we cannot be free to live these spiritual values that are our ideal life. This indebtedness extends to several aspects and translates into giving thanks to all those involved in these different aspects. In Sanatana Dharma, what you call as Hinduism, this debt that you have to pay off is what thanksgiving is all about. You're paying off your debt, actually. And it's given in Sanskrit, the name is called Runa. R-U-N-A. Runa. Okay? That's what that obligation means. Now, to whom are we obligated? How do we fulfill our obligations? Now, understand the Supreme Spirit that is unmanifested in its real nature. It's manifested through all the names and forms in this whole universe. Every single name and form, the manifestation occurs in that. And ultimately, since you cannot see that spirit, you have to thank those manifestations that exist. Understanding the supreme power is present in those manifestations. And understanding that that energizes all these manifestations. So these include the, for example, the sages. These includes our whole equipment here, the body, our mind, and our intellect. Our senses that go out and seek objects and, you know, get entertained by them, and you enjoy the objects outside, okay? And you know, of course, there is a way in which you enjoy them, and then your response also is very important to all those things. But all these things are aspects which you should thank. Also our forefathers who gave us all the teachings, you know, which came from the rishis, from the sages, our community, and our own self, finally. So, if you sum this all up, you would say, what we have is His gift to us. What we do with what we have is our gift to Him. And that is what Thanksgiving is all about. So, this is how we do it. Now, so we ask ourselves, what are the gifts that He has given us? And then who helps us with sustenance on this planet? Who helps us with the right way to live in this world, loving and respecting all beings and moving towards our ultimate goal? So, the presiding powers or faculties that make all these sense perceptions possible in us, they are called devas, D-E-V-A-S. It's the faculty that enables the eyes to see, the mind to feel, the intellect to think, and so on, right? This is one of the things you have to thank. These are called devas. Then the next thing is the physical laws of nature and the universe that ensure that actions have consequences. You know, the law of karma, everything plays into that. If you didn't have that, then if actions don't have consequences, then everybody can do what they want. And everybody will run into more and more trouble instead of anything else. Understand, the law of karma is there to help you, not to hurt you. Because it provides you a way, it provides a metric towards which, so that, you know, when you do something wrong, it pushes you away and tells you that, oh, you may run from the cops, you may run from anybody here, but you cannot run away from yourself, from your actions. Okay, then our intellect, supervising this mind and endowed with the power to be able to tell right from wrong, to act in sync with the laws of nature, and helps direct us towards those actions that keep us happy. That's another thing you have to thank. Then they by whose grace we learn the laws of right and wrong and to act in accordance with our divine essence. So the great sages or the rishis, which I talked about, of the past, whose pure minds show the path to the greatest joy, the bliss of knowing one's essential nature and realizing the supreme. You know, I'm talking about meditation and higher things, you know, so when you're up there, when you go on, when you do your actions very, very well, and don't try to do your actions with, you know, the word we use is dharma. That means when you turn your actions Godwards and move, and every action of yours becomes that way, then the mind becomes, reaches a state of purity. And that same purity is what the masters, great masters, Christ, Buddha, Krishna, all of them had that purity of mind. Okay, so this is where we have to reach out for. It's giving us a metric to do that. And then our forefathers, these are called Pitra, P-I-T-R-S. These are the people, our grandfathers and the grandfathers. After that, you know, all the great grandfathers who brought all these values given by the sages to us. Then, now, the other thing is, so these obligations have fivefold. There are six different kinds. First one is called Rishi Rina. That means the obligations to the sages who showed us the pathway to self-realization. Second, it's called Shastra Rana. Shastra means the rules of engagement in life. Whatever you do, if you're a doctor, there are certain rules by which you do things. You have a code and everything else. If you're a dancer, you have a certain way in which you do things. If you're a software engineer, you have a certain way to do things. All these are codes of engagement, rules of engagement. And these are called Shastras. And the spiritual things are also have a certain rules. Then, the third thing is called Deva or Bhutarana. Bhut, there are two things. Bhutarana means, Bhut means all the five powers. Earth, water, fire, air, space. All these five environments in the world. In fact, somebody talked about earth and things like that. So these are Bhutas. And the Deva is, I told you, that faculty which enables the sense organs to move and get and acquire objects and to acquire a taste for the objects outside. To help you feel your emotions. And all those things, right? And then, next thing is Pitrarana. Pitrarana means our forefathers. Then, the next thing is called Manushyarana. That means our community to whom you should be indebted. For example, the firemen, the police, okay? The libraries and everything else that you enjoy here. And in fact, the community is where you, if you have your own talent, it's the community that helps you to bring that talent out and to show it to the world, okay? And then last one is called Atmarana. Atmarana means your own self. That means realizing your own true divinity. So these are the six different categories. Now, first of all, let's go to the first one. It's called Rishirana. So why should we pray to them? Who are these people? You know, if you look at, spiritual, vibrations, they are always there and they're ever there, always there. The only thing is we have to pick it up. And depending upon the clarity and the purity of your mind, you pick those things up. If it were a Christ, doesn't need to think. It's immediate. So the spiritual vibrations. So these great sages were of that caliber. So they were able to, their minds were like antennas which pick up the actual spiritual vibrations and transmit it without any distortion to the public, to the outside world. See, and that is, we have a name for that in Sanatana Dharma. It's called Shruti. Shruti means the word of God coming through a sage. That's my phone. So who are the rishis and why should we thank them? So primary spiritual ancestors are these great sages. And they are the principal root of our family tree. Believe it or not, you know, all of us have a rishi, a sage who brought us down here. Whichever category, whether you are a Hindu or whatever category your heritage is always great. It came from a great sage. You know, we should all be proud of that. Okay. The principal root of the family tree. In fact, when we do all our festivals and all that, we have to chant all these things that who is the sage under whose discipline I fall. All those things have to be chanted. So these rishis, when the rishis or the sages came down, they gave it to our forefathers who trickled the knowledge down to us. And remember, all this knowledge, I'm talking about spiritual, material, martial arts, and art. Everything else. Everything in this world we have to thank. Now, what did the rishis do? They gave us the concept of Sanatana Dharma. That means the fact that everything is one. The whole universe, everything is nothing but God, 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 God. The manifestation of God is in and through every single being in the universe. Then what makes one human being different from the other? The mind. Okay, so you see people doing damage, there are people who are very nice. So all this is the purity of the mind. So the mind needs to be purified. That's the problem. Okay, so the second thing. So the pure minds, so these rishis whose minds were pure, the knowledge came through them from the Lord, undistorted into us. That is the reason why we have to really thank them. Then through them we learn about God, religion, the way to live in the world happily and live a useful life. They taught us how to serve our fellow beings, living in harmony with nature and with all living beings. Showed us how to reach God or realize that self in the most efficient way. And gave us the immortal scripture. and the script and the shastras, that means the rules that for that the scriptures follow. All the knowledge of whatever exists in the world, science, art, religion, law, economics, all these things are products of the rishis. You know, in fact, I will tell you, you know, in we have a dance called, it's called Bharatanatyam. It's a dance. And that dance actually came from a sage called Bharata. See, so all these things, that's why my point is that all the, even the art, everything comes from these great sages. And then it gives you all the rules to follow in different ceremonies that we do. How do you celebrate a birth ceremony, all these things. Most important, it teaches you also how to observe a teacher and disciple relationship. Okay? That's another lecture. And because this teacher relationship is there, teacher-student relationship is there, we are able to learn about our culture, our religion, and dharma. Okay, then these great teachings have to be passed on. Again, these teachings have to be passed on from generation to generation through our children. See, that is how you respect those rishis who gave you the teaching. It is our obligation and our job to give it to the others. Give it to those that whom you think. You know, so many, even in the Bhagavad Gita, if you see that, Lord Krishna has said so many times that, you know, whenever you are, when you have a position in something, you have to set an example to those whom, to those whom you can set an example for. So the teenagers have to set an example for the little kids. The parents have to set an example for the kids. And all of us have to set an example for the society in general. Okay? So then the other things, like spiritual practices, chanting, you know, doing your rosary beads, practice the virtues and passing on the teachings to our children. All these things were given by the rishis. Therefore, our future community and country will be pure, prosperous. Now, we ourselves must be involved in our spiritual discipline to ensure we move in the direction of spiritual goal. And meanwhile, and while you're doing that, you're thanking the rishis. Okay. Now, what is the next one? Shastra Rana. I told you about the rules. Rules of engagement. Shastra means the knowledge to perform a task in a particular field, whether it's secular or spiritual. It is that which defines the physical laws of nature and the universe and ensure that actions have consequences. For example, the law of karma is also a part of Shastra. It's the scriptural Shastra part of it. To serve people in a village, a doctor would need the knowledge of medicine. That is also a Shastra. Because the knowledge of medicine. A dancer, singer, golfer, software engineer must have the background of music, dance, golf, computer science to perform in that field. Science, physics, chemistry, all these things need those rules. So a spaceship has to follow the laws, physical laws of the universe. You know, only because there are certain physical laws that all these things follow there, then the people who program these spaceships for a certain destination, they can do their job. Because they are working according to those laws, you know, like the escape velocity from something, from when a spaceship is sent out. All those things they have to program into this. And when it goes off track, the computer on that thing can, the guidance system can move it back to the target. Okay? So that's the way it goes. So then software engineers, I told you, and then firemen, How is Rishi Rana linked to Shastra Rana? How is the obligation to our great sages linked to what? To the rules. Huh? This is how it is. See, the proficiency in a particular discipline is called Shastra. Shastra Rana. That means the obligation. So, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Proficiency means, proficiency is the way how you do your work. And all the rules that go with it and how you do it. Now, efficiency is using proficiency, bringing proficiency into expression. For example, if a surgeon was not efficient, but he was proficient, he may know surgery, but at the time of doing his operation, if his mind is somewhere else, you can see that people like bandages and everything else are left inside. And then the body is nicely sewed up and taken back. So very, very important that efficiency should be there. So proficiency, efficiency. So the rishis give you the efficiency part. And the shastra that gives you the rules by which you operate. See? So proficiency, efficiency, both taken care of. Now, to do justice to the rishis, we have to follow the scriptural shastras. Study of the scriptures, your Bible, Torah, whatever you have to do, whatever scripture you're following, follow it and live in the world in a very spiritual way. So that you don't tread on anybody else's toes to get your things done. Then, you know, and then our great sage in our culture, he was called Adi Shankaracharya. He spread that message. He said that study the scriptures daily. Okay. So daily you should read, whether it's Bible or whatever scriptural text you do. Then the other thing, the Shastrarana, what else does it do? It equips you with the right knowledge to make a spiritually directed decision in our actions. Reading a few pages from any scriptural text, Bhagavad Gita, Bible, I told you that. And then our Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, said, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, he prescribed that book very, very much because he said it's like a handbook of everyday living. So you take that book, it's like a textbook of how you do. And you look at any verse in there, it is very, very relevant to everybody's life, anybody's life. So next is Devarana. Devarana, what is Deva? I told you the faculty of the Lord in all the organs of speech and action, by which we are able to perceive and respond to stimuli from the objects, emotions, thoughts in the world. Those are the Devas. Right? Now, so what are they? For example, our, you know, organs of action. The hands, the legs, the reproductive organ, all these are organs of action. And then organs of knowledge, what are those? Those are the mind and intellect. Huh? Where, for example, you know, you the sense of sight, the sense of sound, sense of touch and smell. See, the mind is like the gateway for the five senses. So, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling occurs only because the complete process occurs only because of the mind. Because, you know many times, you can look at something and not see it. Why is that? Because your mind is absent. That is absent-mindedness. So therefore, the connection to that, all these, you know, we have to thank. This is called Devas. Okay. And then the intellect. The intellect has the ability to tell you right from wrong. So if your mind is going and you're going very emotionally into something, and your emotional is not going to get you anywhere, and it's going to get you into trouble, then you use your intellect and say, in this case, I can't do that because there are other more important things to do. And then you turn your intellect, see? So all these are part of that Deva. So mind and intellect are part of the manifested form of God. We must therefore thank these Devas in all these cases. Then, how do we thank the Devas and the I talked about the Bhutas, Panchabhutas means five Bhutas, earth, water, fire, air, space, all these different things. You know, look at this. You can see you're sitting on this earth as if it's a flat land. It's a ball and it's rotating in space. It's revolving, it's rotating in space, and you're nicely, comfortably sitting here. You're not being thrown by any centrifugal force or anything like that out. Why is that? Because gravity is holding you. And gravity, Newton may have discovered it, but it was already there. Remember that. So what do we do here in this case? We have to look at earth, water, fire, air, space. Now, what is the relevance of that related to your body? Because your body is composed of all those things. Earth, the earth element is this. Water, there's water in your body. Fire is the 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit that you feel, the normal temperature that is there because of the fire element in your body. Air, you breathe in and out. Space, your body is in space, there's space in your body and you occupy space. See that? So all these five elements we have to thank. That's why you should not make a mess in your room. Keep the house clean. That is space. And when you keep it clean, you'll make sure your children also do the same. So both, it works both ways. But if you tell them something, then you have to do it also. Okay, so we need to regulate, control and use our sense organs to ensure optimal physical and mental health. So, and then another thing, treat the body as a temple of the Lord. Remember, you can't throw junk food and everything else in this. Okay, use it as a temple. It's a vehicle for you to move spiritually Godwards. Look at it that way. And then you will not throw anything else in there, unnecessary things. Follow the quality of cleanliness of the body and mind. You know, it's very, very nice. See, for example, in the morning, if you get up, a good thing, good quality, is to go and have a bath first. And then go and do your meditation or whatever you are, a spiritual practice. And then go and touch your email. Don't do your email before. Then you might make a mess. But if your mind is clear, then the chances are that your email also will go well. Okay? So you'll put the right stuff in there. Okay. Then don't pollute the body with unhealthy food. Feed the body good, wholesome food. Eat fruits, nuts, and other healthy food and drink. I know many of us don't do that. Once in a way, pizza is okay. So, now, if we know that if we eat the wrong foods, the life of our body is also shortened. You know that also. It's always there. It's a Google's there. Always remember that we are the eternal spirit sustaining the body. Remember this. Never forget that you are the spirit. You are not the body. So don't pay too much attention to the body. Keep it clean. Keep it as a vehicle fit to move spiritually. But direct everything in the spiritual direction. See, when you touch, it's like watering a plant. If you water the roots, everything else grows. If you put water on the leaves, nothing will happen. So water the roots of your being. That is your spiritual nature. Bring that into everything and everything else will go well. See, they say that if you take one step towards God, God takes 9 steps towards you. Always remember, that's a very nice thing to remember. And God has given us the ability to see, hear, smell, taste, touch, all these things. Ability to speak, walk, digest our food, breathe, think and feel emotions. Everything. So therefore, we have to respect all those things. That is the thankfulness that you keep there. Keep your room, home and neighborhood clean. Don't pollute the environment outside. See, these children and all that, they have Earth Day. But you should have Earth Day every day. But hopefully, they remember that, you know, and they we have all these recycling things. It's very, very good, you know. So, which I think things are happening in the right way. You know, there is a Sanskrit saying. It says, dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. That means, the person who follows all these things, these laws, that those laws will themselves protect that person. You know, it's like karma. When you do something good, you get it back. So when you help the environment helps you back. Okay? So, and then, yeah. Now, thanking Mother Nature. How would you do that? Earth, water, fire. So don't pollute the earth, water, fire, airspace. Don't waste water. Keep the earth clean. Don't cut down the trees indiscriminately. In fact, these elements are also used in many religions for worship, water, fire, etc., everything. Our forefathers instilled in us the values that they got from the great sages. They made sure, now this is the next one, thanking the forefathers. They made sure these values, these great values were passed on to their descendants. Who? The sages. Passed it on to the forefathers. And we need to thank them by following these values and pass it on to your kids. See, that's the important, that's what you can do. Obedience and respect for elders, parents, grandparents, all this should come. And several people or groups in the community. Now, next one is called Manisharana. Manishara means thanking the community. How do you thank community? Several people or groups in the community help keep us safe and maintain our culture. Our firemen, police, community leaders, doctors, library teachers. Great souls have said that service to the community is like serving the Lord himself. Okay? So when you do service to the community with that kind of spirit, it is like serving God. Okay? So it's called, in our Sanskrit thing, it says, Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. Manava means people, serving community. Madhava means the Lord. Okay? So serving people is like serving God. So we need to help them through donations, pitching in to help when needed and so on, like you're doing here. Society provides the ambience for me to shine in my talents. See, that's what I told you also. If you didn't have society, where will you show your talents? Isn't it? I mean, very, very practical thing. So you need to thank society even for that. Then you enjoy the parks, the beaches, theaters, libraries, everything else. Enjoy the freedom of driving on the beautiful roads and seeing beautiful places. All these things have been given to us by our community and our country. So we have to be thankful for that. We are obliged to maintain our community values and help in any way we can. Okay? And then, so what do you do, for example? So donate for a good cause in the community. Help the neighborhood keep clean. Help those organizations that promote peaceful mind in terms of children's classes, teenage, guidance, everything else. Lend your talents in any way you can to make your community a nice place to live. Then the last thing is Atmarana. Atmarana means looking after your own true self. I'm talking about the spiritual self, okay? Last and certainly most important, we need to realize our divine essence. Remember, your nature is divine and your duty is to realize that. That is where you go. Your goal is not to earn money and all that. Earning money is, yes, it's part of the equation. But when you earn money also, you earn it in a very, very nice way. You know, you don't grab, don't get greedy. Just, you do need enough, you need to sustain yourself, of course. So all that is necessary, but never, the greed and all that should not come in. I mean, those are all common sense. You know that. But we have to follow it. So when you do all that, then your mind attains a state called purity. And that pure mind is what you need. And you see, when you do that, your mind becomes equipoised. That means there is a, it becomes equanimous. You don't go up and down with this world changing. You know your mind always changes. The world is changing. What is the possibility that these two changes will meet at one point and you'll get joy all the time? Impossible. Huh? The only thing that is certain is that change is the philosophy of the world. Everything changes, right? Okay. But you don't change. Remember that. So you must watch the changing thing in you with the changeless. In other words, watch the robotic you with the spiritual you. See, you know, you do all your actions, right? You go in the morning, you brush your teeth, you do all these things, right? And sometimes, you know, this is called conscious living. You know, let me give you an example. You go to Costco, you take your car and you park it. And you just park it somewhere, you go outside. When you come back, you don't know where you parked. But supposing you say, okay, I parked it in front of the tires, Costco tires thing, and I've got about five cars away from here. Then you've made a conscious observation that that's what you're doing. Now the robotic you is not operating, but the spiritual you is operating because you are living a conscious life. Consciousness is the most important thing. Consciousness is everywhere and you're a conscious being. Therefore, it's our duty to live consciously. Do you understand? And therefore, watch the unconscious you doing all this. You understand? Unconscious is not just going to the hospital and getting knocked out. But if you're acting like a robot, also you're unconscious. Okay. And all of us do that mainly. Okay, so we should learn to observe our actions from a different point of view. You know, taking your handbag in the morning, early morning, and you just put all those things in there, go. But supposing you want to look for something and your keys, oh, did I put them in there? I don't know. And then you get agitated, your mind gets stressed out. So, but if you consciously put everything, it takes a little time. Don't worry about time. Don't think, oh, you're doing an efficient job if you hurry. No, it's not true. If you do it consciously, in fact, you know, doing things consciously is like a prayer. It's when you do things consciously, you are in meditation. Remember, that's a state of meditation, to be conscious. If you don't do that, then you're not following what the master told you to follow. Okay. Because you are a conscious being, it's your duty to do that. Otherwise, what's the point of being a human being? Isn't it? Okay? Because everybody can do the other stuff. It's easy to just let go. Okay, so, we serve the world with a pure mind, free of judgment, association, wandering issues. See, that is called pure mind. You know, even Christ said, judge ye not. Don't judge. Because who are you to judge when you yourself have your faults? Who are you? You know, you think about that very seriously. Therefore, bring all these things to bear, when you do these things. So don't judge, do some meditation every day. So, you know, either, you know, start off with your rosary beads or something, or we call it japa. You can do anything and you start off with those beads and slowly let the mind just stay. Don't do anything else. Leave it, let it go. Or you can think of the form of the Lord in whichever way you want. And then let the mind go. And then let it settle down quietly. Okay? That's a very, very nice, important practice. Okay? Okay. Now, then, so the other thing, exercises in living consciously, mindful awareness, being a witness to our robotic activities. You know, in a Buddhist meditation center, I saw they have 45 minutes walking meditation, 45 minutes eating meditation, 45 minutes sitting meditation. Just imagine that. Huh? That means you walk consciously. You don't walk because you don't walk with thinking something else in your mind, but walk with conscious thing that you're moving, that you're taking this foot and moving it down, then taking the next step and moving it down, and so on. Consciously. Eating consciously. You know, if you eat consciously, you will never become overweight. Really? You don't have to go to Jenny Craig. Any of those. You can forget all those things because you, the Lord, is in charge. How can God make a mistake? Right? So the God in you can never make a mistake. So eat consciously. And you will see you'll never be overweight. You'll eat the right things. Okay? And you'll also watch what you eat. Okay? Okay. Then the other thing. So it says here, be like the ocean watching the waves within you go up and down. In fact, your real nature is like the ocean. Your mind is like the wave. And you're not the wave. Remember that. If you were the wave, then how can you say, I changed my mind? Can you say, I changed my mind? If you're the mind, you cannot say, I changed my mind. It's an object. The mind is an object of your cognizance. Therefore, that's what you need to do, okay? I'm almost done. So change is the changeless organism. However, your divine essence is really changeless. The concept seems difficult to accept. But we tend to cling to objects that we like and reject what we don't like. See? And that's another thing. The likes and dislikes are another impurity in the mind. And you cling on to emotions that you cherish and leave the other things that you don't. So keep an open mind. And intellectual convictions, you know, you can cling on to intellectual convictions that take you to the right path. Okay, that's important. See, there is a very nice example here. Don't be like the cocoon, you know, like a silkworm gets wrapped up in its cocoon. And the farmers take it and they just boil it. So you get boiled in the cauldron of this world. If you go into this, if you become like a silkworm. But if you become like the spider is very, very careful. Web comes out from its body. It's moving around on its web and it pulls the web back. So it's in charge of its web. But we get caught in WWW, World Wide Web. and everything in this web world is like a web of desire. So we need to get rid of that. Okay. So following these runners that I talked about will help you live life intelligently and also have the idea that you must have flexibility in your life. Let go. Letting go must be very go. You know that movie is there. Let it go, let it go. You should follow that. It's very nice. You see this? And you see, a tree that bends does not break. It springs back. But if you have no flexibility, it can break. So keep your options like that. So live as per obligations of runners. They should come very naturally to you since they are things that you have to be thankful for. Live a conscious life, as I told you. And if you have trouble practicing all these runners, these obligations, practice some of them a day. And then move on further. Okay. And live a simple life. Read the value and the life of great saints. Be inspired. You know, I gave you a book last time when I came here. I told you The Power of Habit. It's a very beautiful book. It's by Charles Duhigg, Duhigg. It'll show you how to take a habit that is creating trouble in your life and tweak it so that habit goes away. It's very nice. It's very, very nice book to get. It's a yellow paperback. I got it from Costco many, many years ago, but it's very nice. If you have any doubts about the gifts that the Lord has given you, look around you and see there are people who are not as fortunate as you. You know, so I'm saying count your blessings. You're already doing that. Turn your gaze within yourself, not outside. That's where the real treasure exists. Okay? So good luck and may God bless you with everything that you do. Thank you.